We see problems caused by sin all around us and even inside us. Here's Laura Perry with a reminder.
Wherever we are, remember that the solution is Christ. The solution is not politics. God can use that, but the solution is not politics. The solution is Jesus Christ and the gospel of his transforming power.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, co-author of True Woman 101. For January 28th, 2022, I'm Dana Gresh.
The topic of gender and sexual identity is more prevalent than ever in our world today. Sometimes we don't even know what language or verbiage to use in talking about these issues. And that's why it's so important that we equip ourselves with the truth of God's Word, along with compassion and understanding as we learn to engage in this conversation. Yesterday, we heard an incredible story from Laura Perry about how the Lord has rescued and redeemed her. If you didn't hear that story, please go back and listen to it on your Revive Our Hearts app or at reviveourhearts.com. It's one of the most deeply moving testimonies I've heard, maybe ever. And today we're going to hear from Laura some insight on balancing conviction and compassion and how we can reflect the love of Christ in the way we love others. After Laura spoke this past fall at Revive 21, she joined Aaron Davis, Mary Cassian, and Dana Gresh for a roundtable discussion on these issues that our culture is dealing with and some practical questions that we have to be prepared to respond to. I think you'll find this conversation really helpful and practical. Let's listen.
One thing I wanted to talk about was this book. Does this look familiar to you?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, does this look familiar to any of you? This is True Woman 101, and you didn't get to it in your testimony, so I did want to touch on it before we started feeling some questions about how the Lord used this in your story.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was in a women's discipleship group, which I wasn't all that excited about to begin with, but then I really, throughout the year, the Lord was really speaking to me, and I remember looking around the room one day and realizing I was just one of the girls. It was so healing. But this study, a few months into it, I was not excited about. I was being obedient to the Lord, but I really didn't want to love being a woman. And throughout that study, I was so hard. That my first book, I don't think I have the original book anymore. I have another copy now. But my first, I think, chapter or two, I was like, these questions are so stupid. This doesn't apply to me. So, you know, I just had the worst attitude. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just began to melt away the ice. Mm. And I began to see that I really was a woman, and I really began to see God's beauty in the design, and it really began to transform my heart. So I'm so thankful to this ministry, and now to be here, to be speaking at this conference is huge for me, because this ministry has had such an impact on my life.
So, so sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I think we want to come from a place of understanding without compromising, which is a challenging place to be. So I'd love it, Laura, if you'd just help us understand those who choose to transition or consider themselves transgender, some of the heart, you spoke to some of your own heart issues, but what's going on below the surface? We see maybe the clothes or the appearance. That's the tip of the iceberg. What do you think are some of the things going on behind that?
I think most of the time it's based in rejection of themselves from other people. For whatever reason, there's wounds there, and there's reasons that they don't like being a girl, or a boy doesn't like being a boy. Sometimes it's from family wounds. Sometimes, you know, for example, if a girl has a father that maybe the father pays all the attention to the brothers. You know, sometimes the girl will long to be a boy like her brothers. There's other situations where maybe they've been really abused, where, like, especially with sexual abuse, sometimes being female feels so vulnerable, and it can be scary. And so there's reasons like that. But it's always based, sometimes it's a peer rejection, or even perceived, like, not measuring up to your peers, not being like your peers. You know, sometimes, like, the girl will look at the cheerleader and go, well, I'm not like that. I'm never going to be a girl, you know, or the football player. Or I have an example of, I have someone that I know in my life has two very, very different sons. One of them is sort of this uber masculine, like a rugby player, this huge guy, and the other one's artistic and creative. Mm-hmm. And so this younger one has decided he's trans now, and I think a lot of the problem is because he's measuring himself against his brother.
Yeah, I just had a similar conversation with a friend. Her son is, he's not even feminine. He's just right. sensitive.
Right.
He just likes beautiful things. And mm-hmm. she said in a previous era, he just would have been a sensitive boy, but now somebody's going to want to slap a label on what might just be his temperament.
Exactly.
And that can be really challenging.
Yeah. And there's even biblical examples of that. If you look at like Jacob and Esau and how different they were.
Right.
And one was much more favored by the mother and spent his time with her. And he was the artistic, sensitive, you know. Well, it doesn't say he's artistic, but he was a good cook. And those you can kind of infer those things. Whereas Esau's the hunter and all this.
Very hairy.
Yeah. Right. He's very hairy. That's true. Yeah. Very hairy and probably more muscular because he's out doing the manly things.
Right.
But the reality was, you know, God saw Jacob's heart and God loved Jacob.
Yeah. Two words to latch on to, conviction and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Don't think we want to lose either one.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be so challenging. I'm thinking of a couple weeks ago, we were at our town fair and this sweet young lady who I would guess to be about 13 had a shirt on that said Trans Lives Matter. We were in the corn dog stand and I didn't know whether to hug her or I didn't know, like I wanted to express love to her, but I didn't know how to respond and we didn't end up even having an interaction. But what about in like a workplace environment, Mary or Laura or Dana, where these conversations are bound to come up? This is so common conversation now. Give us some talking points for how to have the biblical worldview of compassion and no compromise in this area of gender and transgender. Mary, you're nodding. You've got thoughts?
No, I'm just nodding.
Just nodding. No thoughts behind it.
I don't have any thoughts. But it's challenging. I was just thinking, actually, I did have a thought.
I knew you did.
It's hard because unless you are in the situation, I don't think there's a good talking point. I think the talking point is from, you know, what Kim Cash Tate told us is you cling, you know, and I think of the verse where God tells us in the New Testament, in that moment, the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. And so just having a dependence on the Lord, and I don't think there's a formula, but I think our love for people will shine through even when there is a difference of opinion.
Right.
And, you know, I've had people go, oh, Mary, you're not going to like this, or Mary, you're not going to agree with this, but blah, blah, blah. And I think what makes it hard in this culture is we're so divided that if we're not, you know, we're in one category or another, we can't even have a good discussion.
That's true.
That grace goes a long way.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like that there has to be relationship. So a few weeks ago, an individual that my husband and I poured a lot of years into, who now is not transgendered but categorizes, I don't want to say whether it's a female or male.
Non-binary.
They're non-binary. So we invited this friend, we still consider this person a dear friend, into our home for breakfast a few weeks ago. Jesus ate with sinners.
Yeah. Breakfast, in fact.
He didn't, breakfast with them. And he didn't sin with sinners, but he ate with sinners. If we don't start there, I think the rest of the conversations aren't going to have a lot of emotional deposits so that we can make withdrawals. Your aunt was able to make a withdrawal from your heart at a really important time because she had filled your heart with emotional deposits. It is essential that we stop being fearful, we stop being allergic, we start entering into friendship with people that are confused.
But at the same time, if we sit out of every casual conversation where there isn't a relationship, you know, I work at Revive Our Hearts, so I'm fortunate to be having really edifying conversations at work. But in other spheres, I often will just go quiet because I don't have the relationship there, or I'm not sure what to say. And if we're always just quiet in that situation, then it seems a little bit more normalized than maybe even it is.
I just think of the power of the narrative and the power of stories. And I think that even hearing stories and just going, well, listen, I have a friend who lived transgender for 9 years.
Yeah.
And she just found that in coming to Christ, that kind of resolved some other issues that were going on, that healed up some of the pain and woundedness in her life. And we all need it. And I think also humility. My goodness.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's like we're sinners. Like, I don't have it together.
Right.
You know, it's not like one person comes in as the expert. It's like you come in as fellow journeyers in trying to walk the path of life and allowing the Lord to teach us.
Yeah.
Well, you even said, Laura, you didn't know any stories of anyone who had ever left the lifestyle.
Right.
So, is that still true?
I had actually heard of one, but I didn't know anything about it. And this individual had a medical condition where she was like 4'8" and was very, very tiny. And so my theory at the time was like, well, she just was never going to look like a man, you know, and she had expressed some of that anyway. And so I kind of had dismissed that, but I'd never heard of somebody leaving this like for Christ or for, you know, not anywhere close to that.
But now there's a growing movement of people who are detransitioning.
A lot
of people, because as your story points out very clearly, you know, the suicide rate is very high among the trans community. Mm-hmm. The depression, PTSD, anxiety, stress, surgery doesn't fix those things.
Right. That's right.
In your life, Jesus fixed those things.
Yes, amen.
And so we are seeing a growing number of people detransitioning now.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Laura, you said that you had a honeymoon period.
Oh yeah.
Like a period, because we hear in the media that transitioning is what will make people happy and what will really fulfill them. And statistically, that seems to be borne out. So what do you say about that?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what you're saying. There is kind of a honeymoon period. And if you look at a lot of the stories you'll see on YouTube and all these videos, for the first maybe 4 or 5 years, a lot of times they're very happy and they're putting out these great videos. But once in a while, God gives this window of clarity and they'll be really honest. There was one particular girl who had made all these really positive videos, and she got in her car one day and had one of those little cameras there, and she was intending to make this normal positive video talking about how wonderful this was, and she said, I just have to be honest, like, this is really hard, and I wanted to get on here and make a really positive video, but this is hard. And she started being really honest about how bad the surgeries had gone, and she's one that had a bunch of corrective surgeries. She was frustrated, she was tired of trying to keep up this image, and, you know, but then she went back, and I actually downloaded this video, so I have a copy of it. She went back, she erased the video later, it's no longer on YouTube, but she's gone back to making all these positive videos about how wonderful it is, but she, for a moment, was honest. The reality is, when people are living this lifestyle, they're constantly overriding the truth because they want to do this because they believe it's going to make them happy. And so, and it seems to, it's kind of like a drug. It does for a while, but then that wears off.
Well, any change can have that sort of effect. I mean,
right.
You repaint your living room, and for a little while, it's a happy change, right?
Right.
You got to repaint something else, but
it really is like a painkiller, to be honest, because it numbs the pain of their life, whatever that is.
Right.
And it gives them that little bit of euphoria, like a lot of painkillers do. But it's, you know, it's not addressing the underlying problem. So as soon as that wears off, that problem is still there.
Mm. Okay, we need help with pronouns.
Oh, do we?
My favorite question.
If someone asks us to call them a different pronoun or to drop pronouns or tells us that their new pronoun is, do we?
This is probably the toughest question I get. And honestly, it is difficult. I can tell you that my parents did this very well. My mom never would call me Jake. She never used the male pronouns. And I would get very angry with her. Mm. And I would cut her off for a while. But the reality was, they had invested so much. Even as angry as my mom was, I still knew that she loved me. And she was proving over those years that she loved me. And so I would cut her off for a while, and then the Lord would draw me back. They just kept praying. And they were very firm on their stand. And yet they would tell me how much they love me, and they would prove how much they love me. They would do things for me. And so this became a very, very difficult road to walk. But I knew.
But they would not say he.
No, they wouldn't.
I asked your mom once.
Yeah.
I asked her, I said, so what did you call? What did you call your child?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you call your child Jake or did you call your child Laura? She said, I called my child sweetheart.
Yeah. Mm. Her honey. Yeah, she had a bunch of names. Yeah. You know, once in a while, Laura would slip out, though. And this is the funny thing. I knew she wasn't doing it to be a jerk. But there, in those times, it was like I would be reminded of who I really was. And it was this tethered reality to me. She wasn't throwing it in my face. But at the same time, God was using it. So there was this dichotomy of it was the last thing on earth I wanted to hear. I wanted so desperately to have their affirmation. And yet, hearing who I really was what I desperately needed.
Mm. You know, I have a dear friend whose son is transitioning to female gender, and she doesn't come from a Christian perspective, and she really wrestled with this. It's very, very difficult because that's her baby boy.
Right.
And she came to the conclusion that the only thing, she was so scared of, the statistics of the suicide rate, and that she came to the conclusion that the best thing was just to give in. And mm-hmm. so now refers to her son as her daughter and as she and all the female pronouns. Mm-hmm. But I would find that difficult.
Yeah.
As a mom, I would find that difficult even with a friend, because to me, it's, I'll call you whatever name you want. If you want to change your name, I'll call you Jake, I'll call you what. But the pronouns thing is a tricky one for me because I feel like I'm not telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm lying and I'm agreeing with something that's not true. That's really tricky for me.
Yeah. And again, Laura, your story gives hope because, I mean, we all have so many of these stories now, but there's a family in my small town. The boy said, this is my name now. These are my pronouns. If you don't use them, you're cut out of my life. Mm-hmm. Some family members made the choice not to use them and are cut out of his life for the moment.
Right.
But the Lord kept drawing you back into your parents' orbit. Back, it was just for the moment.
Yeah. So I know of a mother that, and I've talked to several like this, but I know of one in particular that I've talked to, and she begs parents not to give in on these issues. She said she did this, and she started calling the pronouns, using the name, and all the things that he wanted, and it kept wanting a little more and a little more and a little more and a little more, and he just chipped away at her until she finally had to put her foot down, and she said, I'm sorry. And I don't remember, I think it may have been his wedding or something, and she said, I can't do that. I love you so much, but I just can't do that, and he cut her off like that.
Yeah.
So after years of compromising and doing the things that he wanted, all of a sudden it was not enough. And the reality is, a lot of times when people live as trans, they may cut people out of their lives anyways, because even if my parents never said anything, just being around them reminded me of the truth of who I really was, and it reminded me that I was living in sin, because I knew I was living in sin, and what fellowship has light with darkness? There is, it's really hard when somebody's running away from the Lord and completely rejecting God, they don't exactly want to be around the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there is a real war and a battle there. So keep praying and don't let their reactions, don't make it about you. Jesus said, if they hate you, it is me they hate.
Yeah.
They're really rejecting
God.
If
I let my boys have ice cream for breakfast tomorrow morning, they're going to want hot fudge on it the morning after that, and whipped cream on it the morning after that,
right,
and sprinkles on it the morning after that.
Yeah.
So it is maybe a place where we don't bend. Let's talk about our kids. I'm the proud mama of four boys, 3 to 13, and I would not say I'm in fear as a parent, but man, am I alert.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually very angry because they, whoever they is, there's an agenda.
Yeah, absolutely.
Targeted at my sweet boys.
That's right.
My sweet rascally boys.
The way I
boys.
Feel with my grandbabies, it's like, the mama bear. It's like these sweet, innocent children.
Right.
And you're starting to, it's like drip, drip.
Yeah,
it's drip marketing, right?
I don't want my 3-year-old sexualized at all.
Here's a video. Here's a concept.
Right.
And I just look at my granddaughter and you're thinking, she doesn't even understand any of that yet.
Right.
And yet she's already being...
And they're starting younger and younger.
Yeah, Dana, tell us what you're seeing.
Blue's Clues just came out with a Gay Pride Month video. Mm-hmm. Blue's Clues is a program aimed at toddlers and preschoolers. The Muppets just came out with a little video. These are YouTube videos, not like major features, but just normalizing things.
And I was watching a cartoon, and I was going, I can't tell if that character, and they were animal characters, but I could not tell if the character was intended to be male or female.
And I think
and it
sometimes
bothered me, but I think it was intentional.
It's absolutely
sometimes.
Intentional.
Here's what's really important. We have to, if the world is starting to talk to our toddlers, we have to start planting truth on this topic into our toddlers.
Okay, that's my next question. Come on.
So we don't wait till they're 12 or they're 13 or they're 21 and we're not afraid of the topic anymore.
Right.
You're never gonna not be afraid of the top. Can I get on the
soapbox? Get on it. You climb on this if you want to.
We are never gonna be less afraid of this. This is scary.
Right.
But the development stages of children between the ages of like 2 and 6, they're copycats. They like to copy. Whatever you are, they wanna be. But at the age of 7, they start asking questions. Mm-hmm. And they start saying, thankfully they ask us. Yeah. Why? Or did you know? And Pascal said the word why is always a spiritual question. Mm-hmm. Why can't I eat ice cream for breakfast? Well, you can talk about your body's the temple of living God. We've got to keep it strong. No matter how simple the why is. And certainly when they come with these big
but
why questions.
But sometimes we can eat ice cream for breakfast.
Well, no, Aaron Davis, we can talk about that later. But here's what I want to tell you. We generally, what we believe by our 13th birthday is what we die believing.
Which is why the enemy is pointing all the guns at our young people.
Yes. Yes.
One of the reasons.
Yes.
So a whole generation set apart with this thinking.
Yeah. True Girls, the ministry I run, it's a partner ministry of Revive Our Hearts for girls ages 7 to 12. And until the last 12 months, we very rarely got questions and letters about transgenderism, homosexuality. Every day we're getting them now, every day.
Wow.
To the point where we have a book, It's Great to Be a Girl, talks about body care and for the love of God, take a shower,
please,
like those things.
Please.
But
please wash your hair.
Please wash your hair, brush it at least. But the intention of that book is to plant the truth about gender without introducing her to any counterfeits. That doesn't mean that you might not come, she might not bring you questions about counterfeits, because, you know, you start telling her the truth, she's gonna start telling you what she's heard. And we're actually doing an online Bible study on that book starting at the end of October, because the questions are so, moms are just at their wits' end about how do I talk to them about this.
Right, so we live in small town America, which is the same town where we both, my husband and I both grew up, and on the surface looks very similar to it did when we were growing up 40 years ago. But just this year, we went to our little tiny library that has had the same namesake all these years, has a girl statue playing out front. I mean, it's just quaint. Picture a Hallmark movie, that's where I live. And Pride Month, they had a plan, and there was books set aside about two boy penguins raising an egg together, which I'm not sure how that works, but anyway, I was amazed, but I wasn't sure what to do. Do I walk out of that library and not use that library anymore? I want talking points, Mary. If you tell me to pray about it again, I will. But
the restaurants that are celebrating Pride Month.
Do we boycott? Do we not boycott? But how do we talk to our kids?
That's a difficult thing, because we're fighting this on two levels.
Mm-hmm. We are.
We're fighting it on an interpersonal level of how do I care for the person in my life, in my space, in my workplace, who is struggling with gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on that level. But then there's this political level where we're fighting against principalities and powers of darkness that are out and after the next generation.
Right.
So I think that there's almost two different answers to that. And Laura, you've walked that line well, because you have actually, you have more compassion for trans than anyone I know, and yet you've also started addressing that on a political level, because the political decisions and the messaging and the narrative is not benign. It is going to make an impact on the
women.
Well,
my assumption is that that was mandated for my small town library from something higher up.
So, Laura, how do we walk that line?
Yeah, I think, first of all, it goes back to what you said earlier about listening to the Holy Spirit and really being so grounded in the Word of God that we're unwavering, that we are solidly planted on the foundation of Christ and on His Word, and then on an individual level, really listening to the Lord about what to speak, what to share. And a lot of times I start with a lot of questions and let them talk. They know I'm listening. But on an agenda level, they're sharing the truth with compassion. Even when I go and testify in front of these legislatures, I'm not there to tell them all how horrible they are and everything they're doing is wrong and they're killing our children. I'm there to share Christ, and I go there really as a testimony for the gospel. And so wherever we are, remember that the solution is Christ. The solution is not politics. God can use that, but the solution's not politics. The solution is Jesus Christ and the gospel of His transforming power.
Which takes me to my next question. Transgender people and people struggling with all manner of sexual issues need the exact same thing I do, which is the gospel.
Amen.
And I want them in my church.
Yes.
But I don't know how to facilitate an environment where they would feel welcome. I mean, the conviction is going to be there. But how do we in our churches make it a place where the sexually broken feel welcome?
Some of that, honestly, I leave up to the pastors. I think they need to really find out from the Lord. I just don't feel like that's a decision I can make for the churches. But I do, as far as we can all be welcoming, you know, if you see that person walk in, go up to them and ask their name and talk to them like you would anybody else. And just start there.
And well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I was going to say, Aaron, if we love people well, we will love trans people well.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because they're people.
Yeah. Amen. But as far as like bathrooms and things like that, I really leave that up to the pastors. I wouldn't suggest, because I'm always worried about the little kids too. It's one thing you want to make this person feel welcome, but I don't want a man in there with my 5-year-old.
Right.
You know? So there are some logistical questions that are just hard. And I don't know that I have good answers other than we really need to be listening to the Lord. But yeah, we love them like anybody else that walks in our door.
Yeah.
Something you didn't get to talk about a lot when you were giving your testimony, but is very riveting to me, is the ways your mom's Bible study group cared for you.
Yeah, amen.
Even in the desert and when you came home.
Yeah.
And many of us are in Bible study groups. What are some practical things those women did for you?
Yeah, when I was coming home, I mean, they had been praying for me for years, and I didn't know that. And then when I came home, they had written me these cards, and like, they didn't just sign their name. I mean, they had really poured out their hearts to me even before they met me, and they'd raised over $1,600 to buy me a new wardrobe and pay bills and some other things because I wasn't going to have a job when I came home. So more than that, they invested in me and they loved me. I was so blown away by how much these women loved me, how they accepted me. I looked so masculine my first day, but these women really treated me like I was just one of the women, and they included me in so many other things. They would invite me to come do things. And even the rest of the church people, not just them. I remember going on visitation with the church, like my second week out of the lifestyle. I still look so masculine, but they weren't afraid of that. And they were like, yes, come with us, you know, and they just included me. And I was just part of the body of Christ. And I wasn't like, I wasn't this person that they didn't know how to deal with. You know, I was just Laura. And I've just been amazed as I've been transformed. But I think the Lord used the body of Christ to bring so much healing to me.
That's so sweet. Well, Mary, we have more questions. We're going to continue to have questions. As you pointed out, this isn't exactly a new phenomenon, but it feels new some of the time, and we don't know how to navigate the individual pieces of the puzzle sometimes. So where would you send us when we have questions in scripture, other resources, when we're struggling with how to respond?
Laura, you might have some more specific resources. I think there's just resources just starting to be developed now. I think as the problem you know, comes more to the forefront in terms of how do we address this with our children, with our families. I think we'll see more resources. It's kind of like the True Woman movement. It's like, boom, and then it's like, okay, now we need some resources. So I don't have any suggestions right off the top of my head. I don't know, Laura, if you do.
I have a couple, but I agree with you. The resources are just now really being written. Oh, by the way, if you haven't seen In His Image from the American Family Association,
that's a great,
Mary and I are both in it. Please go watch that. It is an amazing, beautiful movie.
It's a video that actually has, it's a documentary. Mm-hmm. That Laura is in it, I am in it. It kind of walks through theology and how do we deal with this question in our churches in a compassionate way, in His image, and I think you can find it at inhisimage.movie.
.movie.
One of the other two that you were going to mention, Laura.
And Denise Schick, who is also in that, she has some great children's books that I haven't gotten a chance to take a look at, but I know Denise, and I imagine that those are great resources. She has quite a few books. Walt Heyer also has a couple of books.
Walt. What's his last name?
Heyer, H-E-Y-E-R. He's got some really good books as well. So,
Can I recommend one resource?
Absolutely.
Peter Hubbard, The Gospel, the Homosexual, and the Church. And it is not on transgenderism per se, but I believe it's a book every believer should read simply because it roots any questions about gender and sexuality in the gospel, and it just teaches you how to compassionately have the conversations that we need to be having. It's a phenomenal book. Listen, some of you are shaking your head. You know the book.
I didn't plan this, but this feels like the right moment to also mention again True Woman 101. Because you need to know. You need to know what the Bible says about gender theology, and this is a primer for that.
That's my friend Aaron Davis talking about the study True Woman 101. You've been listening to a discussion she had with Mary Cassian, Laura Perry, and I even got to be a part of that too. True Woman 101, written by Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth and Mary Cassian, is extremely relevant, especially with the issues happening in our culture and in the conversation you just heard. This is a Bible study, and it walks you through what it means to be a woman and how to embrace the beauty of God's design. Right now, you can get a copy of True Woman 101 Divine Design when you give a gift of any amount to Revive Our Hearts. This resource is one way we can say thank you for supporting this ministry. Visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. Be sure to request your copy of True Woman 101. That number again is 1-800-569-5959. Do you ever wonder what the men in your life are thinking? Next week, Nancy will be talking with Shanti Feldhahn and Barbara Rainey about the inner lives of men. They'll give you insight about men and how you can support them in a loving, godly way. I hope you'll be back to join us. Before we close, I'd like to invite you to take some time to reflect on what you heard today. I sure hope this conversation has given you practical insight to these issues our culture is facing. Maybe you're dealing with this yourself, or with a family member, or friend. I shared these words near the end of our Revive 21 conference this past fall, and then Laura took some time to pray over all who need wisdom in this area. I hope this will be an encouragement to you and will bring you the hope that's only found in Jesus.
You probably have a lot of questions. Your heart might have just gotten a dose of hope that you desperately needed. And you may have a child or a grandchild that you've been praying for because they're confused about their sexuality, they're confused about their gender, and you may have been on the verge of giving up. You may have a husband, a mother, a father that's deeply confused right now. You yourself might be confused right now. I want to say something really clearly, because I think that when we are the ones that are confused, or when we are loving the ones that are confused, the enemy tries so hard to point his finger at us in accusation. And I want to tell you that there are no fingers being pointed in this room tonight. No fingers will be pointed in this room today. What you will find is arms that will hold you. We will speak truth. We will speak it with conviction. But we are here to love you as you pray for the ones you love. And we are here to love you if you have questions about your own sexuality and gender. And if your heart has just gotten a dose of hope that you needed for a daughter, a son, a grandchild, a spouse, a family member, a friend, a coworker, or your own heart, and you need to be prayed over, would you just stand?
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what you have done in my life, but more importantly, what you want to do in each and every life represented here. Lord, I know that you are the God of restoration, of miracles, and the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead can overcome all sin, can put back together shattered lives, can mend broken hearts. So Lord, I pray for each and every woman standing. Lord, you know each and every detail of their story. You know every tear they've cried. You know every pain of their heart. You know their deepest fears, Lord. And I just pray that you'd minister to each and every woman. I pray that they would see that miracle in their lives, whatever it is they're longing for and needing. Lord, whether it's in their own life, in their own heart, or whether it's the life of their child, whether it's a broken relationship because of gender and sexuality, or maybe some other reason they've turned away from you, Lord, I pray that you would draw them all back unto yourself, that you would reveal yourself to them. Lord, I pray that that you would chase them down and pursue them just like you did me. Help them to see how much you love them. Help them to see your goodness and your faithfulness and your trustworthiness. Lord, help them to see that you are the God who can overcome all things. I pray that you would show your heart to each and every woman here. Show them that you haven't given up on them or their loved one. And I pray that you'd show them the work that you want to do in their heart, in their journey as well. That for the parents, for the loved ones, that you want to draw them closer to yourself as well. And I just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Wahlgemuth wants you to experience freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.